This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheebrick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Wiley had knocked down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Pyle dribbling in and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! Hey boy, we're rolling here in Salina!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man who is ready for a little cooler week to play some golf, a little cooler day to play some golf, Mr. Steve Sell. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, cool today. And, you know, we played Saturday morning. It was 61. I had a chill when we started.
Well, it could have been 91 and you would have said, I got a little chill. Let me go well, grab that jacket out of my car.
I always have a jacket in my car no matter what when I go to the golf course, even in the summertime. You never know when you're going
to
need it.
Yeah, you never know when you just need to bundle up. Speaking of cool weather, man, I went out to football practice for a little bit this morning and it felt good. It did not feel like the typical June morning summer football practice where they talk about the two-a-days, the heat, the humidity, the cramps. Oh boy, it felt good out there. And these guys, they better have soaked in today because I don't think they'll get a better day to practice all summer long, all fall long.
And one thing is, when it's cooler, you get more done because the guys aren't thinking about how hot it is. They're able to focus and concentrate. And I haven't been out yet. You went out today. I'm sure you probably had some observations, and I'll go out sometime this week, some observations. Of course, Friday, we don't know what time yet, but the Bullpups are going to be scrimmaging. If you want to see your 2018 Bullpups football team, they're scrimmaging Friday morning. Coach Pavel let us know about the times, unless he shed some light on that today. Did he shed
any light? No, he's waiting on Hayes to get back with him.
Hayes, Salina.
Typical Hayes
yeah.
People.
Hayes, Salina Central, and Kingman are going to be at McPherson Stadium for a round of scrimmages. So, really looking forward to that.
Before we talk about Game 2 of the NBA Finals from last night, as well as a little bit of the Royals, I wanted to tell a story from this weekend, Steve.
Okay.
That I think you will enjoy. So I went down to Fayetteville to go watch college baseball regional. Arkansas was playing at home. They're the number 5 national seed. I had to go root on Wu-Pig.
Woo!
Wu-Pig.
Okay.
And I went to the Saturday night game, which is a winner's bracket game. That means both teams won their first.
Right.
And both are still safe into the next round. But the winner would get a bye into the regional final.
Okay.
So Arkansas is playing Southern Mississippi.
Okay.
The home of Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah. Brett Favre, yeah.
The Golden Eagles. And my dad and I went, our two seats were right behind the first base dugout. We were about 10 rows back. And Arkansas, of course, great crowd that night. I think it was like 10,150 people.
Wow.
And we were about 3 rows back and 1 section over from the Southern Miss family and booster section, where they get about 100, 200 tickets right there behind their dugout. And so we're enjoying the game. We're getting very early on into it. Southern Miss all in their yellow, Arkansas in their red. And in the first inning, there was an Arkansas fan, big guy, big strong hands, and they get first batter up, 2 strikes, or maybe 2 strikes and 2 outs in the inning. And right before the pitcher's about to throw, you know, they get their clap to try and rally the pitcher.
Yeah.
And there were about 5 pitches in a row that got fouled off. So in that stretch, this fan who is in the row right behind the Southern Miss people does it every time. He's one of those fans that's going to be leading people.
Okay. And
then they foul it off. Okay, we'll start it again. So the Southern Miss woman She wasn't very happy about that.
Okay.
So, this is the first inning. And she starts putting her fingers in her ears. And she's going, "Your clap is too loud," and turning around and saying something to him. And he's like, "Look, lady, I'm just clapping. You're at a baseball game. We're clapping." So they finally get out of the inning. I think he claps one more time. In between innings, she pulls the usher up and says, "Hey," and this is the exact phrasing she used. She sort of put her hands up and said, "Now I'm not complaining."
But she is.
"Now I'm not complaining, Mr. Usher, Mr. Yeah. Security Guard.
Yeah.
But this guy behind me is clapping too loud. Can you tell him to stop?"
I bet that usher gave her a funny look.
What do you think that Arkansas fan wanted to do for the rest of the game?
Clap louder.
I have a theory on this. Number one, this woman is not in her home stadium. If this game was played at Southern Miss, and you had a big group of Arkansas rowdy people that are coming in and screaming and going crazy and clapping real loud right behind their ears, I get it. You're at home. The other people are on the road. Respect where you're at. But she is in Arkansas's home. She's in this guy's home. This guy is probably a season ticket member, and this is what he does every game. So if you're on the road, you don't really get the right. Like, imagine this. Somebody comes into the roundhouse. Let's not say a Bueller fan. Let's say it's a Derby fan.
Okay.
And they sit right in the middle of the McPherson parent section. And they just clap and scream and jump up and holler. You're going to be like, dude, you're not in your place.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, this person was not really being loud or obnoxious. They're just clapping.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine they're trying to get that third strike. They're clapping faster.
Yeah, yeah.
It was nothing crazy. And I'm going, lady, you cannot try to complain here in the first inning about that. Number three, do you really want to keep aggravating this guy? If you say this in the first inning,
yeah.
What do you think he's going to do the rest of the way?
He's going to do it until you leave. He's going to aggravate her until she leaves.
And number four,
human nature.
If you're going to go to a baseball game, if you're going to go to a football game, a basketball game, you have to know that people are going to be clapping and are going to be loud. I understand that there are a lot of stadiums and places that are trying to be a little more user friendly or fan friendly for people that have sensory problems, here's an example. So a lot of baseball stadiums will have no peanut sections. For people that are allergic to peanuts, they can sit in this section.
Okay.
If you have some sensory problems, I get it. If your ears are sensitive and you don't want to have somebody clapping real loud behind you, maybe the best place to sit is not right behind the dugout and right in front of a big, loud Arkansas fan. If you're going to have real big sensory problems, maybe don't go to this game. And I was just laughing at this woman because you're in the first inning of a playoff game.
Was she with anybody?
Yeah, she was with a bunch of, like, her husband and a friend next to her.
What was her husband doing?
Keeping the scorebook.
Oh, there you go. Didn't seem to be bothering him any.
No. And so I wanted to share that story as a reminder of why some people are annoying.
Yeah.
This is happening right in front of me, so I could just watch the whole thing. And she turned to that usher and said, "Now I'm not complaining."
I'm
not complaining.
When you say that, you are. You're just basically saying
it's like
am.
You go to the restaurant and say, "Now I'm not complaining."
Yeah, but that steak
is definitely more of a medium. Yeah. I wanted it a medium rare.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share that story with you. So let's talk about the NBA Finals Game 2 from last night. How much of it did you get to watch?
I watched about three quarters.
Okay. So
for me, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good to keep your attention for that long in the NBA. So everybody's been talking about all year, the Warriors are a third quarter team. That's the quarter that they blow teams out of the water. That's the quarter that the Splash Brothers start to light up. Kevin Durant takes over games. Draymond Green is stuffing the stats. But the third quarter last night belonged to the Cavaliers.
They won the quarter.
34-31, which is a very high-scoring third quarter. And the thing that told me the most about this game, the Cavaliers played great in the third quarter. They outscored Golden State, which is hard to do because Golden State was making shots. And even though they won the third quarter, they didn't really gain any ground back. They kept cutting into that lead and getting it close, getting it in single digits.
It was deflating because they never made that one run to get it tied or get within a couple that, you know, might have Golden State think, wow, these guys got a chance. It was almost like, to me, it was like a cat toying with a mouse. And I've said it all playoffs. Golden State just kind of goes along. Then when they get challenged, then they decide to play. I thought they were really good last night.
They were.
Offensively, Steph Curry. And, you know, I used to really like Steph Curry. Now
you hate him?
Oh, he is annoying. Well, he's annoying. I just play the game. Respect the game and don't do all that shimmying and goofy looks with the face and taunting and, you know.
I'll remember that the next time you walk off hole number 13 on the hole that you have called Steve's hole and walk off and say, yeah, just another birdie, not a big deal, trying to showboat a little bit. I'll remember that next time. Steph Curry last night was on another level.
Yeah.
And that's what, even though the Cavs played well in the third quarter, it didn't matter because the Warriors had answers. And when Steph Curry is knocking down shots as the shot clock expires and chucking them up from deep and they just hang in the air, nothing but net. Then he runs into the corner, knocks down a three as he's fouled, falls into the stands. When Steph Curry makes a NBA Finals record 9 threes, you don't have a chance.
And this series is over. This series is over. Because Cleveland, to win the series, has to win 4 out of 5. Do you see that happening? I watched the post game with Jalen Rose and
Michelle Beadle, Chauncey Billups,
and Paul Pierce. And you could just see it. They're like, we really don't need to hype this series. This series, you could just tell they know it's over. Everybody knows it's over. It's just, is it going to be 4? Or is LeBron going to go for 69 and win one game by himself? Because his supporting cast, I'm sorry, it's just not good.
I kind of thought J.R. Smith was going to have a redemption night last night. He was not very good.
Mind blown.
George Hill played okay. You know who has played well this series is Kevin Love.
Yeah.
And nobody's really talking about him. He had 22-10 last night.
And yet, but they're counting on George Hill. He's a journeyman. You know, he's what, 32 or 3 years old. He's been with a plethora of teams. I mean, you're counting on him.
And Kyle Korver.
Kyle Korver.
J.R. Smith.
Yeah, oh,
Kyle Korver had 1 point last night.
Yeah, Kyle Korver, you know, when there's teams that get up in his face and he can't get his shot off, he can't create. He has to come off screens. I'm telling you, this series is over. I thought that Cleveland could win one. I'm not so sure now. I think it may just be a 4-0. And LeBron, you can see just LeBron's here's the thing that cracked me up. And at the end of the game, I don't know if you noticed this, there was still like 7 seconds to go. LeBron's walking across the court. He's on the court. And they just let him walk. They don't stop the game for too many guys in the court. LeBron's just walking off the court. He was not out of bounds. He was on the court. You know, of course, they're standing there holding the ball.
Well, everybody was probably on the court.
Yeah. But to me, still, you're not enforcing the game. And I just,
there are a lot of rules that the NBA does not enforce.
And there's, you know, I thought last night LeBron got hammered a lot.
Well, there was the weird play where they were running in transition, and this was still a close game. I think it was the third quarter. And they threw a ball all the way up the floor, and he caught it in traffic and was off balance. And Steph Curry went to the ground and stuck his leg out. And LeBron didn't necessarily trip over his leg, but it was there, and he fell. And they called like a travel or a turnover.
I really feel like Cleveland has not gotten a lot of calls.
No,
the series.
They haven't.
And especially, of course, the first game, the charge call reversed, that was, and even the NBA, I think, knows that was, they got to change that rule they've changed that rule once. I think they need to change something back because that was bad.
So here we sit, game 3 coming up on Wednesday, 8 o'clock in Cleveland. I know that in my head, Cleveland is not going to get swept. I just don't think that's going to happen. But I'm also down in the position that I was 2 years ago when I was saying, it's okay, they're just down 2-0. LeBron and the Cavs, they just got to go get one or two in Cleveland. 2 years ago, I felt pretty good about Cleveland, even in this situation, and nobody else did. But this year, it's different. I don't think there's going to be a Draymond Green ejection.
I don't think it matters.
Andrew Bogut injury.
I don't think it matter if Draymond got, he didn't play one game. They They're doing fine without Iguodala. He's a, you know, he's a vital cog in their machine. And somebody named JaVale McGee.
He was 6 of 6 last night.
Yeah, I think they were all, almost all of them were dunks or right there layups. I know his first four were dunks. I know that.
I just get the feeling that the Warriors are not going to screw around for the rest of this series.
No.
And
they're tired. They want to get, you know, that's the thing that's remarkable about these two, both of these teams to me. The NBA season is a long season.
It is long.
But then you add in the playoffs of, what, 15, 18 games?
Well, just imagine this, Steve. So imagine our basketball broadcast schedule. We got right out of football and into basketball. December 1st was that first game at El Dorado. Can you imagine if we were still doing 3 games a week?
Oh, couldn't do it. I'm
too
old.
That's another 3 months.
That's hard on your body, hard on your voice.
And imagine playing the game.
Yeah.
And practicing. And for a lot of the guys, the Steph Currys, the LeBron James, they haven't stopped for years.
Yeah.
Where LeBron, especially when it's an Olympic year.
He's been in the finals 7 years in a row.
8 years in a row.
Is it 8 years in a row? Well, there's been so many, you lose track.
And so when you're playing that much, it does take a toll on you. But I could just tell with this Warriors team this year, they're going to continue to catch breaks. They're going to continue to make big shots. There was a play, I think it was in the fourth quarter last night, where Klay Thompson grabbed a long rebound, or maybe it was a steal, started running the other way, and just pulled up from three in transition and sunk it. Golden State, they're almost unstoppable, it feels like. And that was a text that I had with a friend and I who were watching. They're unstoppable sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, they are beatable.
Yeah.
They can be beat.
Yeah.
But when they're rolling.
But not when they're focused.
I don't know if there's any team in NBA history that when this Golden State team is running and they're rolling like they were last night, that could stop them.
And I keep saying they could keep doing this for years.
Yeah.
The only thing, because they're still got, you know, their stars are still in the prime.
And they all like each other.
They're in the late 20s or early 30s. They're in their, you know, 28 to 32 is supposed to be an athlete's prime. You know, really the prime.
Unless you're LeBron and he's 33.
Yeah, but the only thing that's going to stop this team, and I've said this 1,000 times too, is greed and ego.
Not green, greed.
Greed. Well, green. Yeah, money. Yeah, Klay Thompson at some point.
I meant more Draymond.
Yeah. Klay Thompson at some point is going to want his $30 million a year. Draymond Green at some point is going to want $30 million a year. But the thing is, you put Klay Thompson on the Bucks, he doesn't get them very far. You put Draymond Green on Cleveland, even on Cleveland, you know, he's a good player. He just happens to fit this system so perfect with what he does. But he is just, he's a good player, but Cleveland makes him a great player.
It sort of seems like this Golden State team is unique in that they like each other. Where I think the consensus is with those Jordan Bulls teams, they didn't like each other that much, but they played with each other.
Yeah.
Shaq and Kobe with the Lakers, they had some issues. Obviously, at the end of the Celtics run, the later Celtics run, Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, obviously they had some problems with Ray Allen.
Yeah.
That it other dynasties, at some point, they clash.
Yeah.
But these guys really like each other.
Well, and I always go back when I first started watching the NBA, Boston won it, what, 11 out of 13, I think it was, or 9 out of 11?
Yeah, that was when they were playing on those peach baskets.
Their roster never changed.
Right.
It was Havlicek, Sam
but there
Jones.
There was no free agency.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just stay with the teams. But those guys liked each other. Red Auerbach was a genius. He was the Phil Jackson or Pat Riley or Steve Kerr of his time.
Or Steve Sell of his time.
Yeah, Steve Sell. But anyway, you know, Havlicek, Russell, you know, the two Joneses, those guys were there throughout. The roster never changed, and once free agency came about, of course, everything changed.
So we will talk a little bit more later on this week about the NBA Finals in Game 3 coming up on Wednesday. Game 4 will be Friday night, so it will be weird for the NBA to have games with only one day in between. It's rare for them at this point in the season. So we'll talk about that more later on this week. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we haven't really been able to talk about the Royals for a while.
Oh, Royals. We haven't talked about them for weeks.
Well, we haven't had a whole lot to talk about. So we'll catch up on the Kansas City Royals. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those of you listening at midkansasonline.com, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, we have hit show number 162.
Wow.
We're rolling. It's like a full baseball season.
We didn't, game 162, so we played a full season.
Surprised.
In baseball terms.
What do you think our record would be out of 162? You think we'd be about like the Royals?
I don't know.
Or that Detroit Tigers team of like 2000?
No. Judging from the response we've been getting, I'm saying about 90 wins.
Okay, so we're maybe not quite like the 01 Mariners.
No.
What'd they win, like 116?
116.
So, but we might be like a late 90s Yankees.
And they didn't make the World Series, though. They won 116 games and they were done.
Ichiro, who else would have
Randy
been on that
Johnson.
Team? Yeah, Randy Johnson, the big unit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were. Gorman Thomas was a home run hitter.
The guy that...
Jay Buhner.
Edgar Martinez, would he have been on that team?
Yeah, Jay Buhner was on that team. Yeah, they were really good.
One of my buddies from working in Florida, he's from Seattle and went to Washington State. Huge Mariners fan. And I'm sure that those were the days that got him going. Big Ichiro guy.
I think they're in first place.
They have had a really good run this
year. Yeah, they're playing well. They got D. Gordon. He's been...
James Paxton with the no-hitter.
Yeah. King Felix even won a game. You know, he's kind of at the end of his career, but he did, I think, win a game yesterday. But that's a great division, though, with Houston, Seattle, and the Angels. And even the A's. I was pretty impressed with the A's over the weekend.
Yeah, speaking of the A's, the Royals lost 2 of 3. With the Athletics in the old matchup of Kansas City teams. Friday night, I don't know if you got to watch much Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, that was rough. Ian, it's hard to lose 16-9.
And, you know, Ian Kennedy in the first inning, I'm thinking, okay, he's got his good stuff. I think he threw 9 pitches, you know, and then he gave up his first 450-foot home run. And by the time he left, after 3 innings, he'd given up 8 runs. And, boy...
7 hits.
Yeah, you look at that starting pitching. Eesh. Kennedy.
Hamill.
Now, Hamill's been pitching well. He's just not been getting rewarded. But
Duffy.
Duffy's pitching better. And then Brad Keller, you know, he's going to be a starting pitcher now. And
scary.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, he did well in relief. But Jacob Junis, again, another great game for him.
Yeah.
And then they bring in somebody named Bert Smith, who I always thought was Bert Smith until I saw his name
Birch.
Up. Yeah, Birch. When... I'm not kidding. The first about 3 weeks he's on the team, and I'd hear him say, well, Bert Smith, you just don't hear him say Birch Smith. And boy, does that guy give up home runs. Man, he comes in and just, and I think he's one of those Rule 5 guys. I could be mistaken. That he's got to be on the team all year if you're a Rule 5 guy. So, ooh, that's going to be rough if they have to keep him around all year.
It was a 5-4 win on Saturday, 5-1 loss yesterday in the series finale. So, you hit on something that I wanted to talk about a little bit. We're into the month of June. MLB trade deadline is at the end of July. We're trying to figure out what the Royals are going to do at the deadline in order to get something back in return, because they are not going to be in the playoff hunt at the end of July. And even if they somehow were, like they were last year, you know, 6 games out or something close... There's no chance that they're going to be going all in this year. So we're trying to process who's going to go, who are they going to trade at the deadline, and what are they going to try to get in return.
Well, number one, Moustakas.
There's got to be a team that would.
He's gone because he's having a good year. I know the Braves have been mentioned heavily. The Braves got a ton of great young talent.
Well, imagine if some team just needed like a first baseman.
Right.
He could play third. You could put Mike Moustakas at first base.
Yeah.
If you were a National League team that just needed a bat.
And you know, if the Royals trade Moustakas, they're not going to trade him within the league.
Oh, no.
So he'd go to the National League.
I would think that could happen.
Yeah.
Probably not within the division.
I know the Cardinals were interested in him, but remember, he was a free agent And his agent basically priced him out of the market.
Mr. Scott Boras.
Yeah, Scott Boras. But he priced him out of the market. And I really admire Mike Moustakas because, you know, he was a hero on the World Series team. Now they're in the total rebuild. But he came, you know, he came back. He had to have a – what he wanted to do is prove everybody wrong. He's doing that. He's having a really good year. So he's the number one trade chip. Number two, Herrera.
Yep.
He's the number – let's face it. How many of these guys really have value? I mean,
those two.
Salvi's locked up long term, so yeah. Salvi's not going anywhere. Duffy's locked up long term; he's not going anywhere. You couldn't give away Ian Kennedy. I think Jason Hamill will be a guy that they'll move because he's pitching better. He'll give you a quality. You know, he's a professional. He gives you a professional effort every time out. He just doesn't throw real hard. He relies on his slider, but you know. They've got to get something back in return, though. They can't just give these guys away, especially Moustakas. Moustakas is the type of player that could bring you maybe about three good minor league prospects.
The other guy that I think could get moved, because he's had a pretty good year, is your old friend John Jay.
Yeah?
Because
Redbird.
There is a market for him somewhere, and he's had a good year. He's played pretty well.
Well
I
he
saw
was second,
some stat.
He was second in the American League in hits for the month of May.
Right. And so I think he's a guy that could go somewhere. But the thing that might be a little bit hard for Royals fans to understand is this process. And it was really hard for people to understand last year. Where I remember a few times my mom is asking, why are they going to trade him? Why are people talking about trading these guys? They're good. And it's hard for people to understand. They're making this transition from World Series champion and two-time participant in the World Series to
total rebuild.
To the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since the Royals have been in this type of total rebuild mode. Where if you think back to 2011 when a lot of those guys started to make their major league debuts, even then, it wasn't this type of feeling because there was optimism. You're going, look at all these rookies. They're coming up. They're getting better. Where this is more like, I don't even know if the Royals have had a time like this while I've been watching.
And you know why? Because they have misfired on the draft so badly.
Right.
And the draft is starting today. So, but the Royals have misfired terribly. Bubba Starling. Yeah. Christian Colon, the fourth pick overall.
I will say, Christian Colon had the two biggest hits, two of the biggest hits in
but
franchise
they
history.
Didn't they pass up on Chris Sale that year?
Yeah, they passed up on a few.
Yeah, Tim Lincecum, I think that year maybe.
No, I don't think that year.
Okay,
but,
well, they passed up on...
they passed up on a bunch.
Yeah, but they have not been good in the draft. Golly, there's been some guys that you know, and they have, what, five or six of the top 60 picks in this year's draft. They have got...
Kyle Zimmer.
Kyle Zimmer, I don't think... Did he ever pitch a game?
Not to my knowledge.
I mean, they waited... They took him in, like, 2012... And they just finally gave up on him because he has been hurt his whole career. He's like 27 or 8 now, and he was hurt his whole career. So they have misfired so badly in the draft. They wouldn't be in this predicament probably if some of these guys that they drafted would have hit.
And the other thing that is another hard pill for a lot of Royals fans to swallow is the moves that were made in 2015 at the deadline to get Ben Zobrist and Johnny Cueto.
They were great moves at the time.
Where at the time... You do that 10 times out of 10.
Of course you do.
Because they knew they were one really good starting pitcher away and one good second baseman away from winning a World Series.
Right.
And they did.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
they
moved guys like Sean Manaea, who threw a no-hitter this year.
They mortgaged their future
right.
for the present. And you've got to do that. When you're in the position they're in, you got to go for it. You may not be in that position again for a long time.
And I guess the interesting thing is you don't really feel the side effects from that until now, where this is really the first time that the Royals are going, oh man, we're missing out on these prospects that we move, because they weren't just 18-year-old draft picks. These were guys in
Manaea.
AAA, AA,
well,
that would have been up by now.
They were their – Manaea and Finnegan were two number one picks.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave up a lot. So,
but hey, I've got some World Series –
Yeah, would you? Okay, would you trade your World Series memorabilia in there for about 6 years of bad baseball? I wouldn't trade it.
Nope.
Those 2 years they had back to back I mean, they've earned themselves a lot of rope, you know,
a lot of leeway.
But the thing is, they got caught last year in that dilemma that teams find. Do we make it? We're going all in. Well, they went all in with those guys. They knew they were going to lose them. They could have moved Lorenzo Cain last year.
They could have moved all of them.
They could have moved Hosmer. Eric Hosmer, you don't even hear anything about him in San Diego. He's an anonymity now. He's in witness protection program. And Lorenzo Cain is having a great year for Milwaukee. He might be in the World Series this year because Milwaukee is probably the best team in the National League. The Dodgers have fallen off. Colorado's leading the West. You know they're not going to do anything. The Nationals are the Nationals. They never get out of the playoffs. And, of course, never count out the Cubs. I think the Cubs actually will end up winning the NL and be the NL representative against either the Yankees, Red Sox, or Astros. I mean, what a great three. The best three teams in baseball in the same league.
Steve, let's wrap up the show, take our final break. When we do, we'll preview what's coming up this week for McPherson High Sports, as well as what's coming up this week on the According to Jim show, and I think you'll be happy with one of these decisions. Back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmer State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening in the future, on podcast, soundcloud.com/KBBE
Sports.
There you go.
Or KBBE, as Denny likes to say.
Well, Steve, it is a busy week and one of the busier weeks of the summer for McPherson High Sports. So here's everything that's going on. We mentioned earlier that the football team is getting back into its summer camp. They've got practice throughout this week. They'll have a scrimmage on Friday, three different scrimmages with Hayes, Salina Central, and Kingman. And then over the weekend, they will go to Fort Hayes State for their team camp, where they'll scrimmage there.
Yeah, they used to go to Pittsburgh State, and we had some bad luck down there with injuries, and I think we just kind of decided, you know, seems like we come
got
back.
Bad juju.
Yeah, Austin Hunt got hurt. You know, Austin Hunt, after his sophomore year, he was going to be our number one running back, and he tore a ACL, was out, didn't get to play as a junior. And he came back as a senior, but he wasn't quite the same. But, you know, he was a very key contributor. But, I mean, he would have been a 1,000-yard guy probably if he hadn't gotten hurt down at Pittsburgh State. But going to Fort Hays State, you know, that's Pav's alma mater. And he's got good
– he walks around like he owns the place.
Well, he does.
He kind of does.
Yeah, he kind of does. So, anyway, really looking forward to that. Now, I don't know when the other team camps are. I haven't heard from Coach Doyle. I don't know if she's got her volleyball camp coming up pretty quick. But generally, you know, there's a lot of – team camps going on, and maybe Shane Bacchus. I'll email Shane Bacchus, and he can give me a full rundown when all the team camps are.
Boys basketball had their team camp last week. I got to go watch for a little bit.
Looks different.
It is a different look for sure. And it's a smaller bunch for sure. Well, when you take Ben Pyle off the floor at 6'8" and long arms and shooting from distance, yeah, it's a game changer. And when you take five seniors off the floor.
Well, Drew Labertu is almost 6'3", so there's some more size. And then Mason Alexander and Jace Alexander and Thomas Diggs, you know, those guys played a lot of games the last 4 years for the Bullpups. So a lot of experience graduating, and Coach Kinnaman's kind of like in Bill Self's position. He has one starter coming back and then, you know, some promising guys that, you know, they're going to have to develop in a hurry. I think Cody Stufflebean's going to be a really good inside player. And then after that, who knows? There's a lot. I don't think Coach Kinnaman has ever had a team with more question marks than he'll have this upcoming season.
A team that will not have very many question marks is the girls basketball team. They're in their summer camp this week, and they will be playing in the summer leagues on Thursday. A little shorter for them because a lot of those girls are playing summer basketball, and so Coach Strathman was taking it a little easy on them and trying to not overwork them at this point in the summer. This week on the show, tomorrow, Steve, Mason Alexander, former Bullpup basketball player and all-stater, will be in studio with us. Wednesday, you get the day off because Casey is going to host with me on Wednesday.
Okay.
And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago that she's getting on here. We're going to talk about emotional songs. Songs that either sort of bring you down, make you a little sad, or songs that make you want to run through the brick wall.
Okay.
And then Thursday, Coach Kinnaman's going to come back from KU camp. We'll get a little scouting report from him. Busy week.
Yeah. And then, of course, next week, I go on vacation toward the end of the week.
That's right.
So I don't know if you're going
to... Maybe I'll go on vacation, too.
I don't know if you'll have Casey on to help you.
Yeah, we might have to do that.
Or, you know, I'm sure Coach Kinnaman... Yeah, Coach Kinnaman will be back, so... Although, I guess we could tape the show before I leave on Thursday. I don't know.
We could.
We could possibly do that. But that's up to you. I mean, I'm just a bit player. And
that's true.
Perpetually confused.
Yeah, so. You're always confused.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, we wrap up today's show tomorrow. Remember, Mason Alexander on with us. That will be a fun show. We had Ben on last week. A full Bullpup boys basketball recap going on.
And tomorrow night, Bullpup summer baseball team in action.
That's right.
6 o'clock, Grant Complex. So, if you want to get their 3-0 so far, and a lot of the same guys have played on the high school team, but they've started 3-0. But the Salina Falcons, their big rival, that's always is a good contest. So 6 o'clock at Grant Complex tomorrow night.
We wrap up today's show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.